I'm here with Doug Rothis, a programming writer on the Visual Studio User Education team. Tell me about what you do here at Microsoft.
Like you said, I'm a programmer writer, and I'm part of the Visual Studio Languages team. I write documentation and samples for the Visual Basic language.
So you wrote the help topic entitled Auto-Implemented Properties. Can you tell me about this feature?
Yes, it's a new feature for Visual Basic 2010, and it's a time-saving feature for common property definition. You can use a shortened syntax instead of having to do the full get and set procedure for a property. And so it's a real quick way to write up properties for a class or a module, interface or a structure as well.
Oh, great. Can you show us a few examples?
Certainly. Okay, so here we have just a quick little class, a customer class. Nice sample class, always a customer it seems to be. In this case, what we can do then is we can add a property to this class, and we'll just do last name, first name. So it's a string property, and now you'll notice that IntelliSense no longer creates all the getters and setters for the property. It just leaves it as one line, public property, last name, as string. One thing I do want to show you is that if you do need the expanded syntax, and we can talk about that a little later, all it takes is going to the next line, typing either get or set, and pressing enter. And then the automatic code will be generated for that. In this case, we don't need that, so let's delete that code. Now what you get from the auto-implemented property is a standard basic property that you can bind to. Think of it as if you had created a private field, a private backing field to contain the value, and then you created a property where in the get procedure you retrieve that value, and in the set procedure you set that value. That's what you get with an auto-implemented property. No extra code, just the getting and setting of that value. So let's just look real quick as what that would look like. Let me type this in. We'll get back our get and set procedure. And most commonly you would have had a private variable. So here we have our private plastName variable to contain the value. It's a field. And then we can say in our get procedure, return that field. And in our set procedure, we would set the value of that field. So this is what you're commonly used to seeing with a property. This is essentially what you get automatically with just the one line of code for an automatic property. So let's remove that back out. A couple other things to show you about automatic property. You can set them to initial values. So I can actually say, if I wanted to say something like, whenever I spin up a new customer class, I want to show that the last name is empty. It's an initial value for this. You can just set that right on that one line of code, and there you get it. You don't have to, but it's an option. Let me show you also one of the limitations of initializing a property. If your property is an array, you cannot specify explicitly the bounds of that array. But what you can do is you can use an array initializer to set it to some initial values. So let me show you an example of that. In this case, if I have a public property, let's say my customer, I have a list of phone numbers. And that is an array. And I'll make it a phone number type. And let me copy that really quickly. So here I'm going to copy in the phone number class that I can use for this array. I could not say that this was maybe three phone numbers long. That's an exception. What you can do is you can set it to values. So I can say it equals something with phone numbers. So let me copy some more of that code, save a little time. So in this case now what I have is an array initializer, if you're familiar with curly braces. And then within that I use a couple of object initializers to create a couple phone number objects. Now what I have is a phone numbers property that is initially populated with a home and a work number when someone creates a new instance of the customer class. And a little spoiler here, I'm using implicit line continuation before I've done that video. One thing to note about the backing field is it is always private, and it doesn't inherit attributes or access modifiers for the property. Except if the property is shared, the backing field will also be shared.
So what's the situation where I couldn't use the auto-implemented property and I'd have to use a standard expanded property?
There are a number of situations. The simplest is if you want to pop code into your get or set procedure, you need a get or set procedure, so you would have to code those. An example of that would be maybe you're validating a value before you set that value, phone number form with a regular expression or something of that sort. If you need to set access modifiers on the get and set procedure, a common scenario is where the get procedure is public and the set procedure is private. If you want to set those types of access modifiers, then you'll have to use the full syntax. Some other reasons to use the full property syntax would be if you want to specify that your property is read-only or write-only. If you're using those keywords, you'll need the full syntax. If you want to get to the backing field to modify it in some way or perhaps document it with XML comments, if you need to get to the backing field, you'll need to use the full syntax. Let me clarify though, the backing field is accessible from a debug window in Windows. So if you have a debug point set in your class and you're going through and a property has already been set, you can actually get to that private field within the debug window. And the name of the private field, as noted in the topic, is the name of your property preceded by an underscore. So for my example, I had last name, underscore last name is the name of that property. Let me just show you one more thing in code that'll help reinforce that.
Okay, great.
In this case, I have public property on last name as string, and I have it initialized to a value. If I try to create perhaps a private field called underscore last name as, you know, string again, now I have an error because this actually creates a conflict, and the error reports that the last name auto-implemented property implicitly defines an underscore last name field where it conflicts with this one. So, that's that.
All right, great. Thanks, Doug.
No problem.